now that we are well into our cycles of sales and implementations, I am surprised that most of our clients are actually large companies. They are billion-dollar corporations with all the tools.
Wow.
And then I ask myself after these Zoom calls about, you're a billion-dollar company, why are you talking to me, right? And then it looks like they also struggle with the same ROI calculations. Like when they open up the Excel sheet and they put in the license fee,
Yeah.
the number of rows that qualify or come in green is hard, very, very few. And they themselves are also looking at open source.
Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Courtney Dominguez.
Ashish, welcome to the Ivy Podcast. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me today.
Thank you so much, Courtney, for having me over.
Can you please tell everybody a little bit about your background and also about OpenBots?
Sure. I am Ashish Nangla. I am the CTO and co-founder for OpenBots Inc. OpenBots is essentially an RPA, open source RPA tool. It's now available in the market. We launched in about November, early November. Myself, I have been in IT services and IT consulting for a long, long time, about 25 years now. Did gigs for large insurance companies, financial services, banks, high level architecture in terms of creating solutions, as well as did a lot of in the later years, I started doing a lot of emerging tech, especially around AI, RPA, IoT, a whole bunch of new technologies that started breaking ground and looked very promising. They're kind of starting to become mainstream now. RPA was definitely one of them. RPA was the early contender and looked like had better ROI for most of the other results and more definite business cases and use cases for us. We started implementing RPA, and earlier we did have to explain what RPA was and things, but at the end, RPA took off very well. It was understood by business community better, and they started appreciating what RPA can do. And I thought this could become a business by itself and not just part of some services and independent thing altogether.
And I are passionate about RPA. and we deal with it every day. According to Gartner, global RPA revenue is projected to reach $1.89 billion in this year, in 2021. And that's an increase of almost 20% over 2020. And the growth rate is expected to continue to double by double digits into 2024. Yeah, yeah. Despite this, and despite you and I living and breathing this every day, there are still, companies out there that are exploring this technology and haven't really leveraged it yet. So maybe can you describe RPA and also some of the benefits it can bring to an organization?
Absolutely. I mean, RPA, when we describe RPA, or rather when we started this business, how I described this to my wife was, RPA is what I think my wife wants IT to be.
It's true.
It has to be straightforward. It has to be simple. It has to be fast to implement. You cannot be coding the same thing again and again. And a few days ago, or when we started OpenBots, and slightly a few days before that, she saw me coding and said, "You are doing the same thing that you were doing 20 years ago. These brackets and these semicolons look the same." And I actually agreed with her that, technology has not improved substantially to make things better. And RPA is exactly that, right? RPA is the answer to that. People may look at it from different views. They can think of it as tactical. Somebody can think of it as strategic. But that is essentially what we set out to be, what I call as the unfulfilled promise of IT. We were supposed to do things really, really fast and turn around applications and make business better. And RPA is going to do that. RPA is making that change by making sure that, all the human effort that goes into operating a business can be automated, right? So anything that needs to be moved around on applications, data being entered, data being extracted. So these are, not only repetitive work. I wanted to say that some time ago that it's just repetitive work, but that's not true anymore. So business processes trying to get more automated and involve humans in the loop when only a decision needs to be made or an important information needs to be conveyed, something needs to be reviewed, make sure you have not missed out, put the decimal in the wrong place in a check amount and those kind of things, right? So that's where they come in. RPA, earlier was thought of as a fringe thing out and rogue elements of an organization trying to write, overcomplicated macros. But that's not true anymore. There is a good venture of, IT tools that have come up and everybody has started embracing that now. So we see, RPA adoption. There is hardly, any CFO anymore who does not know what RPA is. There might be CIOs that don't know what it is, but I'm definitely sure CFOs know what that is. And it's essentially making sure they're able to do that because it's being talked about and how they're able to improve, costs and operating costs and making that mainstream.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point because I think, typical place to start an RPA project is within the finance organization, finance and accounting, because so much of what they do, is like you said, repetitive, but also very manual. It's very labor intensive and very manual. And gone are the days of those, 6 month to year long implementations. RPA is so much faster to implement.
That's right. I mean, those times then, I remember I have implemented an RPA, one single process in 9 months, right? I mean, that it was that crazy, like getting hardware allocated, explaining 500 people what you're doing and stuff. Now it's become, people are now aware what it is. They have the basic understanding, the infrastructure, people are moving processes at a much, much, much higher rate. So that's actually a good thing. And I think that's exactly why, we thought it was the right time to bring in something like OpenBox.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So Gartner Peer Insights lists 20 plus RPA software vendors, right, on the market. We're seeing a trend by enterprise software companies incorporating intelligent automation into their products. Microsoft is getting big into this space now. So why did you decide this was the right time to go to market with OpenBots? And what really differentiates your software from others that are already on the market?
So, when we started with OpenBots, we thought we will be able to implement these services really easily. And this was a good business model that we go around implementing RPA for large companies at, by the hundreds, at least that's what we, dreamed of. And once, earlier we were doing only high ROI processes. So it looked like this would never end and this can go on and we will, we'll keep making money and this company will become huge just by doing that. But the first thing we saw, that there is a clear lack of understanding of how the ROI works, right? If you see all the projects that we do, they are still the top, a small percentage of what processes can be automated. Mm-hmm. Everybody struggles with getting the right ROI. And even though the commercial tools have done an amazing job in marketing and creating the awareness, if I walk into a large organization now, there is already a head of automation or head of RPA. There's already two people who know how any one of the tools work and things, right? So they have done that as a good job. But on the other side, the real disservice is the licensing model, right? The minute we put in the license numbers, a whole bunch of use cases suddenly don't qualify or do not show up on the radar. And we thought, how do we fix this? And especially being at that time a startup, we did not know how to make money off that, right? So we saw, open source options, and there were some options that we thought were very good, some options that were horrible, some of them were just abandoned. So we looked at all of them and realized there is not even a single good contender at that point of time that could actually take on some of the commercial stuff or the features. So either they did not have the features or they did not have the right support models and those kind of things. And we looked at that and said, we will start using Python. And it was not, it was not going anywhere either, right? Like you did not, we couldn't orchestrate, we couldn't do unattended stuff very well. Yes, we could schedule it somehow and stuff, but that was not, those were not real solutions. If you, you know, anybody who worked with the commercial RPA tools could come in and call it bullshit, right? Like this is not how, RPA should be. It was the opposite of programming, and now we went back to programming.
Yeah.
So we thought we should write something ourselves. We looked at the open source market or models altogether, and we found it very interesting. And with the advent of cloud and other things that have come up, AI and cloud and other things, and we thought, why not have a nice open source application which can do all the RPA stuff, what people really want. We would not have to interfere with day-to-day, ROI of people. And when people want to move to cloud, or when people want to do AI, when they want to do document understanding and document processing, that's when they could come to us and we can make money out of that. We could definitely make money out of, hosting services. We, like the WordPress model, the application is free, but when you want to host it, that's when you start paying. Or, similar to MongoDB and other things. So we decided we're going to be the Red Hat of RPA, right? That's essentially the thought behind it. That's the strategy. The strategy looks well. We got funded for it. We're absolutely, our investors are very excited in terms of where this is actually headed. And, it started like, with smaller tools and smaller use cases, and we were always thinking that we would go with small and medium enterprises. They are the ones who can't make sense. But actually, sure. Now that we are well into our cycles of sales and implementations, I am surprised that most of our clients are actually large companies. There are billion-dollar corporations with all the tools. Wow. And then, I ask myself after these Zoom calls about, you're a billion-dollar company. Why are you talking to me, right? And then it looks like they also struggle with the same ROI calculations. Like when they open up the Excel sheet and they put in the, license fee, the number of rows that qualify or come in green is hard, very, very few. And they themselves are also looking at open source. So we now think that we have hit the right chord with the market, where there is a need for an option where they can actually improve the number of use cases they can bring to the business. They can improve technology drastically without compromising on capability. Right.
Yeah, so it sounds like one of the main benefits between an open source technology versus a commercial RPA tool is certainly ROI, right? I mean, you have more use cases that fit in because of the lower cost, and because you don't have some of the same licensing costs like you do a commercial RPA tool. But what about the support of it? I mean, is the support of it also easier because it is an open source product?
It is easier. I mean, we can drop patches, and we can do PRs and merge requests more often than what some of our commercial partners could do, or commercial competitors could do. We definitely think that the support model is now so much better, because it's not only the RPA people who are now being able to communicate with each other and talk about it. We have people who are building commands for us, just out of their own needs, that are now in the conversation. We now have people who want to build features. Like somebody didn't like, one of the, features we had in the recorder. So they kind of went ahead and changed it, and then later had a call. And now we have that feature in the tool itself. So a lot of this is coming out of the true open sourceness as well. So it's way beyond. Yes, we are lower in numbers right now, in number of people who have the adoption and number of people who use it. But the sheer variety of people is going to be much higher. So if we get the same time to mature like some of the other tools, the number of people who understand our tool in and out would be way higher.
Sure.
The supportability makes it easier, because, hey, if you don't know why something is not working, you don't have to wait until a support ticket is opened and somebody answers it and those kind of things. You can just go to GitHub and look at how we developed it and say, ah, this is how it works, and you could change it, right? On the other side, we did think that, you know, not having commercial support or a proper professional support would be an impediment for a lot of organizations to implement this.
Yeah.
Especially if you are small, you don't know how to install servers, you don't know how to install some of these things. So we did come up with a plan. We tried to make sure that it is as low as possible. So we have a standard plan and a priority plan for, you know, priority for somebody who wants to use for this for mission critical things and want, you know, immediate response times and high SLAs. Sure. And standard would be for people who want to make sure that, you know, this stuff doesn't fail. I downloaded it off internet, would it work? You know, those kind of questions. So that's why we did land up creating a support plan.
Sure. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, there are companies, you know, that are going to have the people that are able to do it in-house. And then there's the other companies that, you know, like some of your target market, like you were saying, is smaller in nature. So maybe they don't have that support team that they can do it in-house. So then they're, you know, they're able to go back to your team to be able to provide that encompassing technology and support.
Same with large companies. Like, you know, we thought, you know, this was only for small companies and things, but that kind of changed very, very fast.
Yeah.
You know, when we are looking at large organization, and especially our support plan is not based on number of bots. So the calculation works out to be so much easier for them. They're not worried about, how it's going to change in terms of how when they scale, right? Like just yesterday, I had a call with a prospect, large financial services client, and the guy kept asking me, what's the catch? What's the catch? How can it be? No, that is the open source model, and that is how these things operate. We don't want to make revenue off of each install and each individual process and bot people install and bot people use. We're looking at overall implementations. We want the market to grow, and we would have a smaller chunk of business out of that. It's good enough for us. Like, you know, it's either you have the whole cake or you have a much larger cake and have a larger piece out of it.
Right.
So I think our strategy is we want the industry to go. We want this, the adoption of RPA to increase. And we are sure we'll be able to, have a piece of the cake for us as well.
So for that company, like the financial services company or, other companies that are looking to start their RPA programs or expand them, and they're evaluating, various RPA tools, what kind of advice do you give them? And, you know, what would you say to those that are potentially looking at your tool and others?
Yep. I think, you know, typically when we go through this evaluation, we've done this a few times now, we are glad that we were put in the same Excel sheet as most of the commercial products now and given ratings, and that's how we see most of them comparing and most of them evaluating. The advice or the thought that I have when we do that, or we really hope that the evaluator looks beyond the marketing, right? So looks beyond the shiny objects and even looking at these tools, it's also about what you really need, right? How can you get your program off the ground, and how are you going to scale? These are questions that you need to really ask if you're being provided with options to do n number of things. Are you really going to use that, right? Mm-hmm. You have to ask that. Yes, it is nice to be future proof, but then you are forgetting the fact that it's going to cost you from get go to do that. It's also harder to implement. It's also going to get difficult to manage and maintain. And it's not like RPA does not need maintenance, and you have just put it on some machines and it's just running. You have to constantly manage it and monitor it. Screens change and sites change and be expats of objects change on web pages. That, like, this is our daily life, right? So
exactly. I think you're right. I think a lot of people think of RPA as set it and forget it technology, and it's not like that. You know, like any software, it requires maintenance and care and feeding in order to continue to make sure everything's working like it's supposed to be.
Exactly. And yes, we people are able to start off with RPA programs by giving their top 10 business cases.
Right.
But think beyond that a little bit, right? You have to see how it'll go beyond that, how it's going to go. You know, it's going to truly affect your organization and make that. You know, the business cases I have seen, majority of the companies that take are only ROI based. Hey, if I put in $50,000 in automating this process and $50,000 in licenses, you know, am I going to save $200,000, whatever, right?
Right.
So those are Excel sheets, but I, you know, the true value of RPA will start coming in when people have more, you know, more objectives or more business benefits out of RPA. You know, I have seen insurance companies that are legacy insurance companies, but wanted to use RPA to improve, you know, their business offering. So they started working with InsurTechs and the new fintechs. And there are businesses now possible that were not even possible before RPA.
Yeah.
Right. So being able to process certain policies in insurance, certain contracts and financial services and other things were not even possible if they were not automated with RPA the way they were. Right. So business capabilities need to be added. On the other side, RPA tools, you know, businesses can offer RPA as part of their own integrations, right? So if you were a large supply chain company, right, and you had customers and you had brokers and other people, you could offer them an RPA environment where they can automate and integrate with your systems. Mm-hmm. So it's not only that you're bringing in this value of automation for yourself and only doing your finances and you know, Excel sheet automations, but you're actually being able to affect your business partners and overall improving what you're offering to your customers, right?
Yeah.
So RPA needs to now come into that as well.
Yeah, I love that. RPA is a service.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's not only used as you know, an automation tool, but it's also a business collaboration tool.
Yeah, I think some of the most interesting use cases for RPA are where you're thinking outside your traditional spaces, and you know, you're beginning to leverage it in more creative ways, and even in some cases, you know, bot to bot technology. You know, it can be customer vendor where you're interfacing back and forth, and you're really taking the manual human out of it at that point, and and having, you know, bot to bot communication. I think there's a lot of interesting places where it can be leveraged.
Absolutely. It's just that once you move ahead of these basic use cases, the top 20 use cases that you have, that's when you start seeing these things. And that's when it hits you that, you know, this whole pricing model per bot, you know, a license model is so broken. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there's no way out. Like, you know, the deals that I see, all the commercial RPA tools that have made with their investors, you know, evaluating them at billions of dollars, I envy that, but also the fact that, you know, that kind of has made them sign, you know, the deal with the devil, because now they cannot get out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
They cannot come back to you and say, hey, we're going to give you a more, you know, a cost improvement out of what they have. We cannot give you a per transaction model. We can't give you a per bot, you know, per process model or something like that. It has to be the broken model that we have today per bot and things. So it is going to be the biggest bottleneck that not only individual organization, but the overall industry is going to see. That's the glass ceiling of this industry, I would say.
And it sounds like you're here to disrupt it.
Yes, we're ready for that. And I think that is what we think we will change, right? I mean, that's where we will make our mark. Mm-hmm. We don't want, you know, again, going back by the strategy, we want the industry to grow and us being able to have a piece of that. So that's where we are headed.
So yeah, so it sounds like that's where you see things headed from, you know, from not only your perspective, but also, you know, RPA in general. And I think 2021, it sounds like it's going to be a big year for you. So and open bots for sure, and you know, open source technology in general. So any other trends, anything else you see kind of happening in the year ahead?
Yeah, I think, you know, two trends that we see other than the open source RPA trend, mm-hmm. are very evident. You know, the open source trend is happening. We are now seeing people, you know, interested in that, people kind of supporting that. There are people who are now starting to explore that, you know, see very, very seriously. So that's a good trend. So 2021, definitely we will see a trend where open source has become mainstream. People understand that, you know, beyond Windows, there is also this Linux thing that can be used. So we see that open source RPA equivalent coming in. The other two trends is definitely about moving to cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, I think people have resisted cloud for a long, long time now. And I don't think they have a choice anymore.
Right.
You know, with how people were, it was a clear differentiator for people in this pandemic times, right? You saw people who had cloud were able to do things. People who did not have the cloud were not able to do things, right? So that trend would continue. People don't have a choice anymore. They need to evaluate. They need to look at how cloud and RPA can work together. And that's, again, one of the drawbacks we see with commercial tools. You know, most of them are not cloud ready. They're not even close. Some of them are trying to work towards it, but most of them just cannot work in that environment. It's a high failure environment. It's a more distributed environment. Those are environments that most of these client server based solutions do not work. So that's the second trend. The third one I would say really would be, you know, a little bit of more machine learning and AI coming into play, which it includes, I would say, you know, document processing. So document processing will definitely in 2021 will become mainstream. You know, people realize that there is way too much paperwork that they generated themselves in businesses for everything. They landed up creating a document or a form and that is coming back to haunt them. And they will see document understanding and machine learning and AI as some of the solutions out, because now you are able to do transactions without, you know, you can throw in calculations in between business processes, right? And plug them in, that you will see AI kind of improving, the use of AI improving. I would not think that a lot of people will suddenly start making deep neural networks and throwing them in business processes. But good statistical machine learning models will start coming in and trying to show, you know, what our RPA can bring in. So, you know, if a loan comes in, they will definitely be scored and classified before actually a humans can actually approve it and underwrite. If an insurance policy comes in or a claim comes in, there will definitely be a fraud score that an RPA would calculate to come up with an indicator for the adjusters to look at. So those are things that definitely are 2021 trends. You know, I will be surprised and quite disappointed if they do not turn out to be correct.
Well, I think what you said makes a lot of sense. I mean, we're certainly seeing a big shift to cloud technology, like you said, and you know, more and more vendors are moving that way, and more customers are moving that way too. But like you said, the technology really needs to keep up, right? And the software needs to keep up with moving to the cloud. So. And of course, you know, my favorite thing about the past year has been the elimination of so much paper. And I think, you know, like you said, I think people
travel. Paper and travel.
That's true. Yes, that's true. Paper and travel. There's been a big reduction in both of those things this past year. So, yeah. You know, I hope travel comes back. I'm less less inclined to bring back paper. But, you know, I do think you're right. I think that people have realized how much paper they were, you know, using, and two, how many forms and how many documents and all of these things that needed to be processed and processed quickly. You know, we've really seen that with health insurance and test results and reporting and all of that over the past year. So I think you're right. I think we're only going to see, you know, that get even faster and more sophisticated over the course of the next year and beyond.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we think you and I will see really good things happening to RPA this year.
I think so too. So Ashish, thank you. This has been a great conversation. Like I said, I know this is a passion of mine and a passion of yours. And this has been a really fun conversation to have. And I think we're going to have to revisit it either later this year or next year, because, you know, big things are going to happen over the course of next year, not just for RPA technology, but for OpenBots and yourself as well.
We'll see how my predictions come true.
If
they do, I'll move into astrology or something.
Get a whole new career opening up.
Model. If you are a Virgo, your RPAs will work well this year.
I love it. Ashish, thank you so much for being on the Ivy podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. All the best for me.
Thank you.
We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please take a moment to rate, subscribe, and leave a review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.